Blackbeard to get Trump elected should, quote, alarm every American.
Federal investigators say they finished their work at an Oakland, California warehouse where 36 people died in a fire early this month. Agents from the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives say, however, their investigation aimed at finding the cause of the fire is far from over. ATF officials will be updating the public tomorrow. The December 2nd fire at the converted warehouse known as the Ghost Ship is the deadliest building fire in more than a dozen years. USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
The Organ Transplant Agency for Mississippi getting some really good news and hopefully saving more lives. Here's correspondent Randy Bell.
The Mississippi Organ Recovery Agency will no longer have to hope that doctors can get into a hospital operating room quickly to remove the heart, lungs, liver, and other organs that somebody needs. Mora now has its own surgical suite to use in recovering those organs. And out of 58 organ procurement organizations in the country,
we'll be one of nine who actually have an on-site facility for organ and tissue recovery.
Kelly Ware, Director of Hospital Development for Mora, says they hope to have that new facility in Flowood in full operation in the next 3 months. Randy Bell in Jackson.
A Phoenix area deputy is now blind in one eye after being kicked in the face after making a traffic stop. Here's a story from Jason Campidonia.
Sergeant Mark Bustamante was in the middle of pulling a woman over Saturday for driving drunk when she started fighting with deputies. The woman is now facing charges for kicking Bustamante in the eye with the heel of her boot. He was rushed to the hospital to be treated for his injury, but doctors were unable to save his eye. The woman also kicked another deputy, but he's expected to be okay. She's due in court later this week. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
A digital radio station has fired the actress best known for playing Cindy Brady because she reportedly used a gay slur. Susan Olsen had been co-host of the LA talk radio show Two Chicks Talking Politics. The station said it can't tolerate that kind of language. USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Weather this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 47. West wind around 9 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 23. West wind 3 to 8 miles per hour. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 40. Calm wind becoming west 5 to 7 miles per hour in the morning. Tuesday night, a slight chance of snow after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 26. Light southwest wind. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 39, northwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 20.
Welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And we try to help either people who have a mental health issue or families who have someone in their family who has a mental health issue. And we do this in various ways. One of the ways is we run a support group where families can come and talk about their situations, and everything is totally confidential. And maybe they can get, families that have been there and done, have gone past that point where they're at, and they can give them ideas and situation to help them along. We teach a family-to-family course, which is a 12-week course. I'm one of the teachers. My wife's one, a couple other people. And it basically helps the family member or the caregiver feel more what their loved one is going through. And we do it through what to say, what not to say in certain crisis situations, meds, side effects from the meds, and, how to handle certain situations. And we also have a basics course for families who have children under the age of 17 and under, who are at home and have some type of mental health problems, whether it's ADHD or whatever. Everything we do is free. There is no charge for anything. And if you have a question or you'd like to reach out and ask a question or talk to us about something, our phone number is 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. Today we are very privileged to have with us, what are you smiling for, Gary? We are privileged. We're privileged to have Gary White with us, who is from the Flemington Food Pantry. And I don't remember what your official title is now.
Executive Director.
Wow, okay. I'll ask you what that means in just a minute. But I do know, if I remember, you started as a volunteer.
I did.
And then you went up the chain of command, I guess, made a big leap.
I started as strictly as a volunteer one day a week. I did that for about 6 months. And then the director at the time asked me if I'd like to do more than what I was doing. And she asked me to take over the purchasing of the food. And that what that included is I had a budget every week. I would buy from ShopRite. I would buy from Norwest Cap once a month, which is a federal and state organization. I would be in charge of all the donations, be in charge of all the pickup people, and basically be in charge of everything that all the food that had to do with the pantry. I did that for approximately 3 years, and then the director at the time made a decision that it was time for her to leave the pantry. Once she left, I informed the board that I would do the position as an interim. And after about a month of them searching, they came to me and asked me if I would do it on a full-time basis. So a year ago, I started as the executive director.
That's quite a leap from volunteering.
It is.
Well, you know it from the inside out, from the everything about it since you.
I think you do. I mean, when you start volunteering every single day, you get to learn about everything that happens in the pantry, and it really gave me an insight when I did the food purchasing. And then at the time I sat on the board of directors, and so you get to know how the board functions, how that all involves around the pantry. And then once you become the executive director, obviously you're still on the board, but you're not a voting member of the board any longer.
We're probably going to skip around a little bit here.
That's fine.
But exactly what is the Flemington food pantry? I mean, you know, I know it gives food and stuff, but basically, what does it all do?
Well, we started back in 1982, and the pantry started in the basement of the Methodist Church here in town. And they expanded from there and went to several other buildings. Had a building over on 31 for a short time. That building caught on fire, destroyed everything. They moved the building then to Broad Street. ShopRite, the Colella family, stepped in and brought pallets of food back to the place on Broad Street. And the pantry grew from there, and eventually they moved the location where we currently are now, directly behind the Walmart, and the we share the building with the Pioneers. But the pantry basically is to, I mean, to put it simplest, simple is that we bring food in and we give food to the clients. You have to be a resident of Huntington County, and you have to fall within a certain income level.
Okay. Now, someone comes in and wants to get food.
Mm-hmm.
What's the procedure? They have a clearance they have to go through, or
if they came into the pantry for the very first time, they would sit down with our intake people. They would have to show proof of residency. If they're already part of social services, they would have an award letter from social services. That would indicate their proof of residency. It would show them at a certain income level. They would have to provide, if they have children, they would have to provide proof of that, and any number of people in their household.
Okay. Once all that documentation has been approved,
mm-hmm.
How often can they come to the pantry?
They can come to the pantry twice a month.
And it doesn't matter if it's twice in the same week, as long as it's
twice a month.
How do you track that?
We actually have our intake has we have intake cards, and every time they come in, we basically have a book. They sign the book,
right.
And their cards are checked off. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have clients who come back for the third time and say, "Well, you know, everything is kept on record. No rocks are left unturned, so to speak."
Okay.
This is a subject I can't stand, and it just drives me insane. But I know food stamps don't cover toothpaste and toothbrushes and diapers and toilet paper.
That's correct.
And these are necessities for any person, let alone someone who is below poverty level or, you know. And so how does a person get those necessary supplies?
Well, food stamp doesn't cover them, but in the state of New Jersey, you're also given a certain dollar amount. And it comes on a debit card, and they can take that dollar amount that they get, and they can buy different items. What the food pantry is trying to do now is every month we'll buy an item. Normally, paper products are very expensive.
Right.
And so we live within a certain budget. So what we have been trying to do for probably the last 3 months is 1 month we buy toilet paper, 1 month we buy laundry soap, and then we try to give out, you know, the toilet paper or the laundry soap, you know, one laundry soap per month.
Mm-hmm.
Some items that you can't purchase on food stamps. So, you know, we try to think about, I mean, I agree with you. Toilet paper seems to be a necessary commodity for everyone. And why that wouldn't be part of food stamps, I have no clue.
And same with toothbrushes and toothpaste and diapers.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, we're very fortunate because United Way, we have diapers available. We have adult diapers. We have children diapers. United Way comes in twice a month. They take a look at our supplies, and whatever we need, they bring them to us. So
yeah, that's pretty
fortunate.
Awesome. Yeah.
We're very fortunate.
Can you outline what you supply to people, what types of foods?
Well, the Flemington Food Pantry, I'll be honest with you, we are very fortunate. We have a huge support in this community. a lot of donations. During the summertime, we're supplied from Rolling Harvest, Grow a Row, where they bring in fresh vegetables and fresh fruit. We also get donations from Costco now, BJ, ShopRite, Walmart, and we get meats and other canned goods. So, and ShopRite has been very gracious. They bring us, all their meat donations come to us now. So we have a booklet basically set up. So when the client walks up, we have three categories. So basically we're supplemental food. But the client comes in and they have an option to pick, you know, steak, pork chops, hot dogs, hamburgers, you know, whatever extras we have. So we always try to have a big selection, and it's through the donations that we're allowed to have that.
Okay, great.
That's, you know, I know Grow a Row because I live in Union Township where they originated, and I know myself and a lot of other people used to go there and buy corn on the cob and tomatoes and such until he decided to, you know, make it donating his product.
Right.
And I know that where we met at the church one day last year, or this past summer, they had a list up for volunteers to go Grow a Row. And we went there with a bunch of other people too, but it was our, you know, a number from our church. And we picked corn. And I want to tell you, I was sore for a week and a half after that. I didn't know how hard it was to pick corn. Yeah, it comes right off. But half the time you're bending over, you're walking half bent over, carrying this basket, you know, and putting it in, and I'm not on. That's, you know, that hurt.
You know, it's funny you say that because it was always on my bucket list to go out to a vineyard and pick grapes. I always thought that would be entertaining. And you don't realize what hard work that is. You get a little tiny pair of scissors and you go out and cut the vines and pick all the dead ones off. And by the end of the day, you can feel it in your back and your legs.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of work.
And, you know, like grow the corn, if it was, you know, like not ready to be picked and it was there, you had to pull the stalk down and, you know, and it was just like, oh, man. You know, and I forget how many. They told us how many tons we picked. I mean, all of us, not just the people from our church, but everybody that was there that day. There was, you know, Boy Scouts there. There was Cub Scouts. There was youth groups and, you know, teenagers from the high school. And I forget how many, but it was tons that we picked. And they donate all that. And I think that's pretty awesome, you know.
Last year, I think we received 7,000 pounds of vegetables and produce from Grow a Row.
Yeah. And you stop and think that a lot of it is picked by volunteers.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's just because I know one time they had the chamber did a community day, and they had a table there, and they had, you know, some samples of what they had. I said, gee, can I buy some corn? She said, oh, no, we can't do that, you know, because if we sell, then we lose our, you know.
Right.
Thing. I said, oh. I didn't realize that, you know, because I used to buy corn from you guys all the time, you know, because it was like, you know, 5 minutes from the house, you know, but it's interesting.
Well, Rolling Harvest, they also are out of Doylestown.
Okay.
And what they do is they go from farm to farm to farm, and they pick up produce or apples or fruit or whatever, and they distribute it through the other pantries in the area.
Huh. That's interesting.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it really is. And do you work in conjunction with other food pantries, or
we don't? We're our own separate entity, but there's numerous other agencies.
Right.
You know, you have
Fishman's Mark, right?
You have the pantry in Clinton, and every pantry is different. Last summer, a couple of our volunteers went to each and every pantry to see how they were in comparison to us. Some pantries you go in, you get a brown paper bag and it may be a thing of peanut butter, a bag of rice, a bag of Chef Boyardee, and that's the bag you get. Take that and leave. Have a good day. At the Flemington Food Pantry, it's set up just like a grocery store. They come in, and basically when they come into the intake desk, they have a list, and it says that you can have one peanut butter, one jelly, one pancake syrup, one pancake mix, and you have a list of items that you can pick from. So what they walk up to the counter once they've been through our intake area. They walk up to the counter. They give the list to – we have what they call the kitchen, but it's not a kitchen because we don't serve anything other than the food. We don't serve hot food.
Mm-hmm.
And each lady takes one of the half of the list, and they actually go out and shop for the client. Everything is put in grocery bags, and then once they leave that area, they go completely around the other side. They have an opportunity to pick up produce, fresh fruit, breads, desserts, whatever we have available to us.
Mm. So.
How long have you had the produce and perishables? Because I remember going to volunteering at a food pantry a while back, maybe mm-hmm. it was Broad Street, and it was only canned in packages. There was no fresh.
I would say it's probably been the last 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
Like I said, I started about 4 years ago. We did not have the produce that we have today. At the time, we had Grow Row was just starting out. They were not giving us the kind of produce they are today. And we didn't have it from some of the other donation spots. But like I said, we're very fortunate in what we get today. So,
yeah.
I understand. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay. Just real quickly, you said you sort of had canvassed the other food pantries. Are most of them giving out fresh food and perishables and meats and things? Or are you the exception to the rule?
I think we're the exception to the rule.
Okay. Okay. Great.
I see here that since January of 2016, mm-hmm. that you distributed 1,871 reading glasses.
That's correct. That was.
And how did that come about?
It was done through the Lions, and they actually went out and I guess when you turn in your old glasses, I guess what they do is they had a company that went back and ground the lines down and mm-hmm. made new glasses. And they brought the glasses to us and asked if we wanted to be a part of that program. So they came in, they gave us every different degree of
uh-huh.
okay.
magnification.
Yeah, right.
There you go,
yeah.
Magnification. Mm-hmm. Right. And we set it up. We set up a chart, and every time one of our clients came in, we gave them an opportunity to we had a little reading card, and they could test their eyes right then and there. And mm-hmm. we gave them an opportunity to pick a pair of glasses out, mm-hmm. and it's worked out great for us.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Actually, you know, it really is. We say that in Hunterdon County, because people talk about Hunterdon County, they talk about how rich it is and, yada, fifth richest county in the country.
It's actually the sixth wealthiest county in the United States.
Okay. And you got an estimated 5,000 people who have incomes below poverty level. And you know, when you stop and think, and all you hear from some people is, oh, that can't be possible because, you know, we're Hunterdon County and we're so rich. And I keep asking myself, what am I doing here? You know, but the point is that, you know, with 5,000 people with income below poverty level, to me, that's just, you know, awesome. I'm not awesome in a good way, awesome in a bad way, you know.
I don't even think out of that 5,000 that are below poverty, I don't think that we see half of those people.
No, you probably don't.
And we're trying to get the word out this year to encompass more areas to make the pantry more known to more people.
All right. You say you have 141 active volunteers?
Approximately.
Okay.
Out of those 141, not all of them work every single day. Some of them are pickup people. Where they pick up, you know, maybe pick up bread for one day or that nature. But I would say we have probably 20 to, you know, and it varies per day. Not every day is that has that many people. But I would say the average day you have 20 volunteers that work on a day.
All right. Say someone came to you and said, gee, I'd like to volunteer. How do you determine where they best would be needed or used?
Well, we have an application. We're actually just redoing our application now. Probably about a month ago or a month and a half ago, the hospital had a volunteer day.
Yes.
With the veterans.
Right.
And I spoke to Lynn Danick over there, and she gave me her application. What we've done now is we're going to redo our application. I don't think we captured our people in the right way. I think we took volunteers in, but we didn't decipher what their background is, where they came from in life. A lot of people retired, and they may be a retired truck driver, they were a retired accountant, retired whatever. And I don't think our previous application ever captured that. So we hope going forward that our new application that will capture where you came from. Maybe you were a radio talk show host or whatever. And all that is going to hopefully help us, find where you best fit in and where you best can help the pantry.
Right. I know Lynn Danick because I've been volunteering at the hospital for one day a week for countless years.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
And so is Karen, her assistant, But so you find, you determine, say, for example, me, I would be better argumentatively stocking shelves or something to that effect.
Okay.
Is that it pretty much using the background or whatever?
We try to use where your background best fits. I mean, obviously, the pantry's only so big, but, I think going forward, we need more people who can market the pantry. We have a website that we need to build up so, people can find us and know what we're all about. We just recently went to Facebook, so people can go on Facebook and find out what the Flemington Food Pantry is all about, what our hours are. We're always looking for people who could help us write grants. Grants are critically important to be funded. So there's all, I think we need to reach out deeper than just somebody who can stock shelves.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, And at least if you're using the person's history and background, it's much easier for them if they have a background in, internet work and
or
such.
Accounting
or whatever.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We had a young lady who came to us. We actually, two of them, and we were struggling in our technology systems. We are very antiquated in our technology systems. We had two young ladies who came to us, and both of them have businesses in IT, and they came to us as volunteers, just wanted to, do stock shelves, whatever, help in the kitchen. And we found out that they had that background, and now both of them are helping us put together our computer system, a better IT program. So you don't know unless you ask.
That's right.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I was just reading some of the statistics here, and in Hunterdon County, there's 2,035 families that are qualified to receive groceries. And you're distributing food items and other household products to an average of 666 families per month. And, that's based on statistics from January 2016 until July 2016.
Correct.
But, for Thanksgiving and Christmas, you give out family meals, I believe you said, correct? Or holiday meals?
We gave out a holiday meal. And what we have done every year is we sit down with a group of our operational people and we decide what makes up a holiday meal. And if you think about just yourself, you need a turkey, you need stuffing, you need gravy, cranberry sauce, all the fixings that go in it, we try to combine that into one holiday meal. Now, Thanksgiving, we always have the luxury of having ShopRite. When you go in, you spend so much on groceries, then you get a free turkey. A lot of people donate that turkey back to ShopRite, and ShopRite donates that to us. Mm-hmm. So we're very fortunate. And that kind of saves us on our holiday meal costs. I believe this year, last year during our budget, we had extra money at the end of the year, so we bought butter, we bought coffee, we bought tea. We saved that so when we came to this holiday season that we had those items, and our holiday meal cost us $8 per person. For the Christmas meal, we still have some of that product left over, and we'll continue to keep our costs down and make sure that we stay within our budget.
So what's in the Christmas meal?
Christmas meal is basically almost pretty close. You know, it's funny is because every year previous to this past year, we gave out turkeys. Average size turkey is 16, 17, 18 pounds.
Right.
Apartment freezers are not that big. Mm-hmm. So our clients come in, we give them a turkey that's half the size of this table, and they don't have the room to put that turkey in there.
Yeah.
So we try to use common sense and said, this year we went to the hens rather than the turkey toms.
Okay.
For the Christmas meal, we went to chicken roasters, which are even smaller.
Oh, sure.
So every year we try to, you know, get smarter about what we hand out and, you know, listen to the clients, because the clients will tell you, listen, I don't have room for this big, huge turkey. There's no room for me to put this. Maybe next year we'll go to like a turkey breast, because a lot of our families are families of one or two or three, and they don't need this huge, humongous turkey. So,
what about ham?
I'm not a big ham person myself. But but, you know, the same thing with hams, too, because we give out an Easter meal, and you have to use a little common sense when you can't give them this big piece of ham,
right,
and we have absolutely no room to put it.
Yeah, it would be the same thing with the turkey and
absolutely.
Stuff. What role does NORSCAP, or however
you... NORWESTCAP?
NORWESTCAP, there you go.
They are a state and federal agency, so they, once a month, we're allowed to order from them. So they have items that are USDA and SFPP, which is basically state and federal food. And it could be kidney beans, the shelf-stable milk, rice. Those are all USDA items. Any pantry can get those items for free. They also have co-op items, which they get from other donations. You can purchase those items. Sometimes those items are more expensive than we can get from ShopRite. Sometimes they're cheaper. You know, so we take that order form every single month. Myself and two other team leaders sit down and peruse that entire list, go through it piece by piece. And we also have to think about the allotted space that we have in the pantry. So we order it. We get food from them once a month. It comes on their truck. And then we always have, we call it First Friday. And this first Friday of every month, we get that food. We have volunteers who then unload it, and we're good to go until the next month.
And is that how you get most of your donations, or most of your product? Is through donations? And
I would say about 63% come from donations, and that could include Boy Scouts. We had a huge donation drive from Weikert Realty this year. Copper Hill is a big donation. The Girl Scouts. Anybody who – that's where a big amount of our food comes from is donations.
Right.
I would say 18% is grants, and then you get about 19% in kind, which is could be what ShopRite collects. They have a big, huge box in their store. Mm-hmm. You empty your garage out, your food pantry out, and you bring that in. And so a lot of that's where that comes from as well.
Okay. Well, I know ShopRite, the Carrillo family, is very generous.
They're very generous.
I mean, not only to the food pantry, but they've donated things to NAMI
community.
And the entire community.
Absolutely.
They are very, very generous. And, you know, what was I going to say here? I lost my thought.
We'll jump off for a second here.
Go ahead.
Brad and Larry. We had talked, we didn't quite cover food stamps. Do you take food stamps, or how do they fit into the picture?
No. Food stamps is what they get from social services. Food pantry is supplemental food.
Okay.
So we, even though you, when you come to us, you would have a social services award letter, and that's part of our processing with you, but your food stamp is something you would spend, and you also get money that's on it. Like, it looks like a debit card.
Right.
And so that's how you would purchase your food, and you would also have cash if you lived in an apartment, needed to pay gas or electric or whatever.
Right. That, is that SNAP?
That's SNAP.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. Right. And also, you told us before we went on air about people who are homeless, how they can get award letters. You don't, you're officially a resident, even though you don't have a, an address.
Well, you know, you have a you have a big population of homeless in within Hunterdon County, and you wouldn't think that when you look around Hunterdon County, but you have people who, you know, I don't want to call them out, but you have people who live in tents in the woods. You have people who live in the back of your maybe a tractor trailer. You have people who are homeless who live in a shelter, but they're actually in, you know, in essence, still homeless. Mm-hmm. You have people who are homeless, and they may live on someone else's couch. Yeah. So, you know, there's different types. You have homeless who live in through social services, actually reside at one of the local hotels, the Travel Lodge, the Fountain over on 22. So those you're still basically homeless.
Right. Okay.
You know, I just was looking through. And it says November from November 1st this year, 2016, to November 22nd, that 481 meals for Thanksgiving were distributed to your clients. And I just find that amazing. You know, it's just totally shocking, you know. I think it's awesome, you know, but it's just, you know. Because let's face it, the average person doesn't think about it. You know, and that's the problem, is making people aware that just because we live in this quote-unquote rich county, that there are people who aren't rich, who are homeless, who are, you know, striving to make ends meet to feed their kids and what have you, and, you know.
Three or four jobs.
Yeah.
Minimum wage.
Exactly.
You can't make it.
That's
well,
very tough.
You
and if
it.
You think about it, you have some people who may, you know, work at Walmart. Single mother, work at Walmart, not making enough to make ends meet. Seniors who worked all their entire life and Social Security is not paying them that much, and maybe their homes are not paid off. You know, the American dream of having your home paid off before you retire, that sometimes doesn't happen. So, you know, they also are eligible as long as they fall within that income level. So.
Right, right. It's just, you know, it's just amazing to me, you know, because the more I hear about it and the more that, you know, it's the same thing with NAMI. People say, well, this is Hunterdon County. We don't have people with mental illness. And like, duh, you know, like, really? You know, well, you better get out of your shell, folks, because, you know, come out of the closet there, you know.
I think it happens everywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's just that, you know, it's just.
You can stick your head in the sand just so long.
Right. Exactly, you know. Would you speak to, what was it? I lost it now. I'm having trouble time here. the empty bowl. What is the empty bowl? I know it's a fundraiser, but what is it?
It is a fundraiser, and it's basically Karen Holmes is one of our board members. She runs the empty bowl, and happens in October. They hold it at the Methodist Church, and it used to be that we had volunteers who would make all these soups at home, all your specialty soups at home. They would bring it in, and then they would sell those. They had the local artists that would make a bowl, and all these soups would, you know, you would get the soup, it was salad, bread, and dessert, and a drink, and then that money would go back to the pantry to fund the pantry. About a year ago, the health department said, you can no longer make soup in your home. You're not a licensed kitchen. And so now we have local restaurants that now donate that soup. We had Matt's Red Rooster. Mm-hmm. We had the seafood place. We had Jake's. We had ShopRite. They donated all these soups. And you bring those soups in the same principle. We still bring all the soups in big, huge vats from these different vendors. They're heated and continued to be heated in the kitchen of the Methodist Church, which is a licensed kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have waiters and who go around and take the orders from people, come back and bring out their lunches, and we have a big, huge dessert table, and it's a great, great fundraiser and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've been to that, and it's a lot of fun picking out your bowl.
It is.
Because they're really well done. They're beautiful.
I still have one or two at home.
Yeah.
All local artists.
Yeah.
That's interesting. We're going to have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Is there anything in the last couple minutes?
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And you're back with Mental Health Matters, the award-winning show. Governor Christie gave us an award for helping to stop stigma. Stigma, I can speak.
Say that one.
Yeah, say that one three times fast. And we have with us today Gary White, who's the executive director, is it? Executive director of the Hunterdon Flemington Food Pantry. And we've been talking about, you know, people who are on, you know, lower income and poverty level and homeless and so on and so forth. I think Tracy had a question she wanted to ask.
Okay, let's start with personal relationships. How well do you get to know some people? I know you only see them twice a month, but
I think, you know, from a personal standpoint, I think you have to say to yourself, if you're a volunteer, for the grace of God, there go I. Because you could very easily be standing on the other side of that counter. So I think you have to make that, when that visit comes in, it can't be a cold atmosphere. You get to where you know people, you shake their hand, you talk to them. You know, and a lot of them got there because of unfortunate circumstances. They don't want to be there. They would rather have a job or rather have other sources of income that didn't put them in that position. So, you know, I always try to make sure that we make, you know, that everyone has a pleasant day, because if you're miserable, that's really not the place for you to be.
I have to ask, working with NAMI and mental illness and such, there's a lot of stigma.
Absolutely.
Do you find stigma with the people that you serve?
I think some people come in with a preconceived idea, you know, that, you know, people there are trying to take advantage of the system, or, you know, that, you know, it's you know, it's a game, but it's really not, because, you know, I think people are there because that's their last resort, and they really need assistance from, you know, from the food pantry or from any pantry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that most people would much rather be at ShopRite shopping and picking up their own groceries. So, you know, I think there's always going to be a stigma. You know, this year we're going to try to capture more. We haven't in the past. We, you know, there's a big need for veterans out there,
right?
Homeless, that we've never captured those type of stats. And we're going to see where that takes us. Mm-hmm. So.
Go ahead, Tracy. You had another one.
Yeah, about New Jersey. I'm wondering if New Jersey is the food pantries here are different than in other states in any way. Or is this a better place to be?
I think New Jersey, we have a lot of food pantries, which is great. The state of Pennsylvania, I can only speak from what I've seen, but the state of Pennsylvania, their social services does not give them money. They receive food stamps. There's no extra money that comes in there. They may be given assistance with heat or with electric on their electric bills. So their food pantries are very, very different. They're more or less the you walk in, you get a bag, and whatever's in that bag, that's what you get. I know City Harvest out in New York, which is a huge organization, and they actually go out. Through grants or through donations, have a couple of big trucks. They go out and they actually collect food from restaurants. They're done with that food for the end of the night.
Right.
Those restaurants are boxing those meals mm-hmm. up, and then City Harvest comes around, picks up those meals, brings it back to their local pantries, and they give those hot meals then out to the clients that come in. So that's very different in comparison to what we do. At some point in time, I don't see us doing that in 2017. We just don't have the resources. But maybe 2018, that, you know, we step up and are able to either through donations or through grants get a truck and go out and collect those type of things.
It seems like a good idea. And I know when you're at a restaurant, you always think, where does all this extra food go? That they
goes in the garbage.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. In most cases.
In most cases.
When we were talking about stigma, do you think that some people need to get over a certain level of embarrassment of being there, or does that take a while?
I think that that's always the case. I've talked to some people who say, you know, I really don't want to be here, but your circumstance puts you there.
Yeah.
Some of them, you know, they're unfortunate. You know, you lost your job. When I first came to the pantry 3 years ago or 4 years ago, I saw this lady drive up one day in a brand new BMW, and I'm thinking, why would she need the Flemington food pantry?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week I saw her drive up. She had an older Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple of weeks later I saw her. She came up on the link. And what happened was that she worked for a big manufacturing company, lost her job, and lost her income, was on unemployment ran out, was unable to find anything, and she said, you know what, I really felt embarrassed by coming here. I feel like I should be able to go out and find another job, but unfortunately those circumstances put her at our front door. So I think you have to get past that. Sometimes in life you have to put pride aside and
right. You have to be able to accept.
You
got to
put food on your family's table,
sure.
Whatever that takes.
Right.
Sure.
I know it's different in Jersey because you mentioned the Veterans Fair that they had at mm-hmm. the hospital, and I was talking to somebody, and it was Hunt for the Hungry, and right. I had never heard that. I never heard of it. And we were talking, and I said to him, in fact, he's going to be on a show in January, but I said to him that my brother-in-law, who's well up in years, has lived up in New York State for quite a while, many years, and every hunting season he shoots deer skins it and all that, and then takes it down to food pantries and homeless shelters and stuff and donates the meat. And he says, I says, is that what your organization? He says, no, no, we can't do that in Jersey. He says, it's totally different, you know. Well, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's different, but.
It is different. Hunters for the Hungry, they actually do exactly the process you're talking about. That it then is given to Norwestcap. Norwestcap turns around and then sends that product to us. But there's also another hunters group that's here locally. I believe it's the Princeton Hunters. And they go out and they go on different pieces of property who are they're trying to thin the herd. They get whatever they get. It's given to – there is a butcher over on Route 31. He's actually a butcher at ShopRite, and they give all that venison to the pantry. And it's all packaged up. Mm-hmm. It's all – you know, everything is sealed. It's written on the – or stamped on the outside exactly what that piece is. And for the longest time, when we got venison in the first couple of years, people looked at us like, well, I'm not eating that. And then we actually came out with a recipe book.
I was going to ask you about that.
And explain to people how you have to prepare venison, because it's not the same as regular meat. There's no fat in venison. And so when you cook it, if you just took a piece of meat and put it on the grill, it'll be a hockey puck. So it's a slow cook. You would put it in a mm-hmm. crock pot, and that's how you would cook it.
But it's just interesting that in New York State, my brother-in-law can skin the deer and everything and just bring the meat down and hand it to them, and they're all happy they get it.
Absolutely.
And in Jersey, they can't do that.
It has to go through a butcher. It has to go through a process.
Exactly. It has to go through a process. And I just found that very interesting, you know, how the two states are so different, you know. And, you know, well, they are in a lot of ways. But
just cross the bridge. Huh?
Yeah, right. But, you know, it's just – it's interesting because, like you said, cooking it is different because my sister-in-law cooks what he keeps, you know, for the winter, you know. Right. And so it is interesting.
Yeah, in Jersey, everything has to go through a butcher. Nothing can – you can't kill the deer. You process it yourself in your garage and then bring it to the pantry. That can't happen.
All right, I got to ask. If someone comes, they're homeless, they're not registered on any form or whatever, they're down and out, can they get help without being
absolutely
going through all the process first?
We would, yes. If somebody came in and, to your point, and they were down and out and had not gone through social services, we're not going to send them away and tell them to go to social services. We're going to give them whatever they need for that, you know, for that time period, just like we would a regular client who came in. And, you know, it's happened many times where people have come to our door and said exactly that. We're going to help those people. We're not going to send them away empty-handed.
Okay. I thought you would, but I just wanted to make sure, you know. And I don't want to put you on the spot or anything. But now, we have about 3 minutes left. If someone wanted to donate or learn about being a volunteer, or how would they go about that?
They can go to our website, our web address. They can email us at FlemingtonFoodPantry.org. They can email me, Gary White, at FlemingtonFoodPantry.org. They can call us 908-788-5568.
Why don't you say that phone number again in case they're still writing?
908-788-5568. That's our general number. They can leave a message. We have somebody retrieve the messages all the time. Or they can come to the Flemington Food Pantry. We're directly behind the Walmart. It's a gray building. We share it with the Pioneers. And come to the pantry Monday through Thursday. From 9 until probably noon, right about this time. Pick up an application, fill it out, and bring it back to us.
Okay.
And the website, again, is FlemingtonFoodPantry.org.
That's
is that correct?
Okay, good. I should say it's information at FlemingtonFoodPantry.org.
Well, that's your email address. I'm talking about your...
No, it's...
Oh.
It's
oh.
Our, that's the web...
Okay, so give us the web address again, then. Information?
It's information at FlemingtonFoodPantry.org.
Okay. And did you say you have a Facebook page yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's listed under Flemington Area Food Pantry.
Okay, Flemington Area. So they have to remember area.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Gary, I can't thank you enough for being here and taking the time out to come and talk to us. I'm really impressed with the work you do and the food pantry's work and all the people it helps. And I'll say, you know, I'll speak for NAMI since I'm their president, but you know, if NAMI can help in any way, you know, reach out to me.
I certainly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Thank you, Gary. You do wonderful work.
Thank you.
Home Instead. Senior
that was excellent.
Care.
Thank
it's
you, sir.
It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I don't want that agreement to put us at a competitive disadvantage with other countries.
Donald Trump talking to Fox News Sunday about the Paris Climate Agreement and how he will be examining every agreement the U.S. is in. Trump earlier today meeting with former presidential candidate Carly Fiorina at Trump Tower.
And spent a fair amount of time talking about China as probably our most important adversary and a rising adversary. We talked about...